Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the gospel, Lord, and your book, Lord. Give us such a spirit, Lord, and help him to enlighten us about your will and your words, Lord, that you have in your Bible, Lord, and direct our path, Lord, and prove us to keep us, Lord. See our souls also, Lord, tonight, throughout this land, throughout this world, Lord. And see our souls in all our churches, Lord, convict and save that which is lost, Lord. And prove us to keep us for now and for our glory, for Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Amen. Thank you all. Let's take hymn number 2 in our wee black books. Haven't sung it for nearly a week. It's a blessed old book. It's good. Strictly speaking, it's not a hymn. It came from a Christian group, one of many in the States, and it was one of the songs that they had on their album, but it's such a simple catchy tune, and there's a good message in it as well. So we'll just remain seated as we sing this blessed old book. Song. What was it this morning? What number was it? 1, 2. Can't remember what the name of it was that Charlotte picked. But this one is All the Way. Pardon?
297 was it?
Could be. This is another one of hers. All the Way My Saviour Leads Me. 110 in the big books. Oh, I think we may even switch that. We've got a crack this evening. All the Way My Saviour Leads Me.
All the way, my Saviour leads me, what have I to ask beside?
Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, "Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of water, when I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street. Young men saw me and hid themselves, and the aged arose and stood up. The princes refrained talking and laid their hand on their mouth. Nobles held their peace, and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me, and when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me, because it loved the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and hurt, and him that had none to help. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame. As a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out, and I break the joys of the wicked, and plucked the spoil out of his teeth. And then I said, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. My root was spread out by the waters, and the dew lay all night upon my branch. My glory was fresh in me, and my bow was renewed in my hand. Unto me men gave ear, and waited and kept silence at my counsel. After my words they spake not again, and my speech dropped upon them. And they waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. If I laughed in them, they believed not, and the light of my countenance they cast not down. I chose out their way, and sat chief, and dwelt as a king in the army, as one that comforteth the mourners." Amen.
Thank you all. I think not much has changed since this morning. Nobody has any other prayer requests to add to our list of prayer requests, do
we? Like we can catch fish.
The only words I have for you, Colin, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men.
Is that two rings you have on?
It is.
Alright.
It is. Nothing wrong with your eyes. No matter what you say. Next time, bring your glasses with you so you can see. Right, we'll have a wee word of prayer if everything else. There's nothing else we need, nothing additional till this morning, is there?
No? We have two wedding rings on board.
Stephen, this is a church service. You need to be listening to me and not talking. Your turn for talking is at the end of the service, after it's over, or before the service starts. All right? Now, if you ask me at the end of the service, I'll tell you why I have two rings on. But right now, we're going to pray, and we're going to sing, and we're going to see what God has to say, not what Stephen has to say. All right? So let's close your heads and close your heads and bow your eyes. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word this evening. Thank you for those words from Job. Thank you, Lord, for your word, for those good old songs. Lord, for the readings this morning. Father, for the freedom that we still have to gather together. We're glad to have each and every soul that's here, and I pray you, Father, please, for your good hand upon each person that's here this evening. I pray you, Father, for your presence. I pray you, Lord, for your ministering. I pray you, Lord, for your good hand upon each one of us. I pray you, Lord, for the words of eternal life. I pray you, Lord, for the wisdom, the strength, the encouragement, the boldness. For all the nuggets of gold, Lord, that you have in your word, I pray you, Lord, for them and for the good sense to pick them up and make use of them. Bless each one of us, Lord, prepare us for the week that's coming. and be with our brethren wherever your word is being preached in the full counsel of it, and where folks are, well, they're listening. They're happy to be there. Lord, we love you. You know everything that's going on in the world. I pray you for peace and security, even when all the rest of the world is blown to pot. Father, please take and use the rest of this service, not just to work upon us, but Lord, I pray that it would be satisfactory in your sight, that it would be pleasing. Leave these things at your feet, along with private prayer requests, and that family that was mentioned by Ling earlier on today, the Donald Kelly family, Lord, I pray for the whole family at this time. For all the rest of the names that are mentioned there, Lord, and Lord, you know. We love you and thank you. Pray all these things in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. Right, let's take our wee black hymn books, if you would. A couple of picks from there this evening. Hymn number 16, I haven't sung that one for a while. Hymn number 16 in the wee black books is He Lifted Me. Hymn number 16. Are lifted at Calvary. where we are at today. We are, I was just, got my notes all written up, but I didn't bother putting in the Bible reference. Z-A-C-C-H-A-E-U-S. Luke 19. Why was I in Luke 17? There you go. We're in Luke 19. Sorry about the bit of confusion. It's like the path of true love. Never runs through. I tell you, Norm, you better keep an eye on me tomorrow in case I put the paint on upside down or inside out.
I'll be there, by the way. Just like everybody else.
I'll be there, but in body only. We're in Luke chapter 19. I would like to read the first 10 or so verses of this portion of God's word. Amen. Luke chapter 19, the word of God says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, and he saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Amen. That is our Bible reading, our text for this evening. We want to talk about a special case of Zacchaeus. Amen. Let's have another wee word of prayer, and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again. I know, Lord, sometimes I'm sure you get sick, sore, and tired of hearing from us. Well, maybe we would get sick, sore, and tired of hearing from people that were always knocking on their door. I know you never do, Lord, and I pray for your good hand upon us. Not only, Lord, for your good hand upon us, Lord, that you would forgive us where we've let you down, either accidentally or on purpose, and that you would take this as a time of cleansing and refreshing, and, Lord, forgiveness and strengthening. And the whole day, Lord, is a day of preparation. We really do need you, Lord, and as men's hearts grow cold because they enjoy sin too much, and as the days grow darker and darker, Lord, we need you more and more. I pray you, Lord, for the continual conviction of the Holy Spirit, continual of pointing in the right direction, and, Lord, for the continual remembrance of your scriptures, day by day. Just love you and thank you. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us from this portion of Scripture in Luke chapter 19. And, Lord, help us to learn. We love you and praise you. Thank you, Lord. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. The special case of Zacchaeus. Amen. A little bit of a Bible study. Has everybody heard of the story of Zacchaeus before? Does anyone remember the little children's tune there used to be about Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he, and he climbed up into the sycamore tree for the Saviour he wanted to see. And I don't know the rest of it, so I'm not going to embarrass myself, but there's a little one, and Jesus said something about Zacchaeus, come down, because I'm going to your house for tea, or something like that. It's okay, I'm not giving up my day job. And I'm not taking any requests, not even to go and sing in that green hill far away. But I want to take a few minutes and just look at this scripture and just delve a bit more deeply into it than maybe than just what you would see here. Because there was another account of a rich young ruler mentioned in the scriptures who took an alternative route with his life. And he came to the Lord one night and he said to the Saviour, and he said, "Lord, what do I have to do to get to heaven?" And Jesus said to him, "Well, you should keep the commandments." He says, "I've kept them all, even from I was young. But I know there's something missing." And the Lord doesn't see things the way we see things. The Lord can see right past our regatta tops or our McNeil and Grant suits and our DMs and our neat haircuts. He can see past all that and our clean shaven faces. And he can see right into our hearts and souls, and he knows exactly what we want, and he knows exactly what our problems are. And he said to the rich man, the rich young ruler, he says, "Your problem is you love money too much. And if you want an example of how much you love money, how would you react if I said to you, you need to go and give it all to the poor and take up your cross and follow me? You love it that much that you're not prepared to lose any of it, not even for the cause of Christ." And the Bible records that Jesus didn't say this out of spite. He said this because he loved him and he knew what would fix him. Is that the right word? He knew what would make him a better man would be his love upon God instead of upon stuff. And then the Bible records that he... you all right?
Yeah, just...
The Bible records about the rich young ruler that he went away sorrowing. He was very, very sad because he wanted to hold on to all the stuff in the world and enjoy everything in the world, but he also knew that it wasn't satisfying him deep down. And he decided to choose the world. And as that little account went on, the Lord said how difficult it is for rich people to enter into the kingdom of heaven because they have a great investment in the world here and now, in monies and properties and whatever else it is that they have. And more often than not, the money has them than them having the money. They said how difficult it is for the rich to enter into the kingdom of heaven. In fact, he said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. And the disciples said, "Who then can be saved?" Does anyone remember what Jesus said? "With man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible." And that might have been the last account of the Lord dealing with rich people until we come to Zacchaeus. Now, one of the things that is mentioned about Zacchaeus is that he was the chief of publicans and he was rich. In case you don't know, the publicans were, how would you put it, they were basically seen as turncoats by the Jews because they worked for the Roman Empire and they took taxes and basically they had to rule over the people. They could literally say anything to anyone and the Roman soldiers would enforce their decision. And they would, in all likelihood, they were renowned for being liars and thieves. And they took money just wherever it was that they fancied it. Zacchaeus, maybe he was overcompensating because he was short and people had made fun of him through his life. I don't know the reasons why, but he made sure to nail them whenever he became a publican, a tax collector. And he was so good at his job that he became the chief of the tax collectors. However, he too came to the conclusion that it just wasn't fulfilling. He became the chief tax collector, right? He had gotten to the top of his career ladder. He had gone as far as he could go. And he realized that he still had the same missing part in his heart. If only everybody was as smart as Zacchaeus, and he thought, "I've heard about this fellow Jesus that's walking around. And he goes to find Jesus. And sure enough, he comes across Jesus and there's a crowd. There's always a crowd around Jesus. And because he was so small, he couldn't see over people's shoulders. So he ran on ahead. Can you imagine the guy that's running the public, the tax collection agency for the Romans? He's running down the street to make sure that he gets up into a sycamore tree where Jesus is going to pass by so he can see Jesus. Be very undignified. Imagine the chief of the tax collectors. Who would be the equivalent here? I suppose it might be the Lord Mayor. Imagine Jesus coming down the street and the Lord Mayor, the Mayor of Derry, realised eventually that he needed to get saved. And that could be a long wait, but it is entirely possible. And he ran down the street and climbed up the fence and hung on there, standing his tippy toes to see over everybody, or even up one of the trees. Do you think people would be saying, where's the mayor? He's run. He's tearing away down the street. And look, he's climbing up the tree like a wheel. And then they'd be making fun of how little he was. Anyway, he showed that he had a need for something that the world wasn't able to give him, and he wasn't afraid to ditch every show, every facade of importance on a social level, if that's what you want to call it, or climbing, in order to meet with Jesus, and even just to see him. And I know we're speaking mostly about Zacchaeus at the moment, but I want for you to know, if you want to meet with Jesus, you may have to put in a bit of an effort. You may have to end up going to where Jesus is, but Jesus will honour your efforts and he will meet you there. The story goes on and tells us just that Jesus is continuing walking down the way until he just happens to come to the sycamore tree with Zacchaeus up in it, looking out, trying to see this chief of publicans and tax collectors. And he says, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house today. And like so many times in the Bible, this is one of those times, I must actually add it to my collection, when Simon Peter and Andrew, his brother, and James and John were sitting fixing the nets in their boats. Who knows what was going through their heads? But Jesus came along and said, come with me and I will make you fishers of men. And those few words that the Lord spoke to them was just enough. Was an answer to a quiet prayer that we will never know until we get to heaven and say, what was it you were thinking when the Lord said to you, follow me and I will make you fishers of men? Or to Nathaniel, Nathaniel, what was it that was going through your head when the Lord said, before you came here, I saw you sitting under the fig tree? What were the thoughts? What was the answer to that private, that quiet prayer the Lord gave you? What was that private prayer? Anyway, Jesus meets Zacchaeus and says, you need me at your house. He knew that Zacchaeus needed him at his house. You need me, Zacchaeus, and he said. We might look upon it as God's presumption, but it wasn't God's presumption. It was God's answer to Zacchaeus' private prayer. And the word of God, there's a moment or two between verses 6 or 7 and 8. Everybody's saying, the Messiah, this Jesus that has raised the dead, that's turned the water into wine, that's cast a legion of devils out of men twice, has fed the 5,000. He's goodness, he's helped the maimed to walk, and that fellow that was dropped down through the roof the other day in a bed, he put him on his feet again. He's going to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is one of the biggest pains that we have in this town. He's a blinking robber. He's a liar and a thief. And worst of all, he has the Roman army standing behind him, and if anybody says anything, they disappear. Zacchaeus, I think he changed. Between Zacchaeus getting down the tree and getting to the house and realised the presence of God in his home place made such a difference. This is what he said. Lord, behold, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. That is, I looked up in the Old Testament, and there are a number of places. If a man was ever caught stealing something, depending upon what it was, he might have to repay him seven times if it was livestock. But if he realized he had like accidentally shortchanged someone, or he had taken something that wasn't his and then realized, if he's talking about stock or something, I don't know, he was, when he discovered it himself, he was to restore one-fifth. Half of my goods I give to the poor. Clearly showing that now, money was no longer his Lord, his God, but that he was in control of the money, his life, the stuff that he had at his fingertips, and he was able to give that up to the poor. He didn't give it to the church. There's no mention of him giving it to the synagogue. He said, half of my goods I give to the poor. And for all the people I have cheated, I am going to give them back four times what I took off them. And bear in mind, tax collection was not an easy thing. That would have been a substantial drain whenever it came to the bit. There was a lot happened there. And Jesus said, this day salvation has come to this house, in answer to what the people were saying. He's gone to eat dinner with that guy, and he's like a turncoat. He might be a Jew, but he's only a Jew in name. He hates the Jewish people. And Jesus answered them and said, this day is salvation come to this house, because he also, what does it say, is a son of Abraham. He is a Jew too. The word of God goes on to say, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's everybody. We're not lost because we do bad things. We do bad things because we're lost. It is our nature, it is our spirit, it is our default setting. The Lord said, I didn't come to condemn, I'm condemned already, I came to come to save. So if you choose Christ as your Savior, you'll be saved and you'll go to heaven. Now, it's an interesting little story. I hope and pray those extra little things were a help to you. The strange case of Zacchaeus, or two cases in Luke chapter 19, is the change. The change that there was in a man's life whenever he came to God. For many years, he didn't get up to the chief of the tax collectors as a teenager. He wasn't a business whiz like whoever it is that does Virgin, or who's the big guy at the moment. Elon Musk, Tesla, saw one of the Teslas in the town today. It wasn't a business genius. He had put in his time, he'd done his dues. He was where he wanted to be. He was where he thought his life would be perfect. That he would have no troubles and no woes, that he would be at peace, that he would be at contentment. But it's a lie that many people have believed, that whenever you get to the top of your corporate ladder, that everything will be hunky-dory. Getting anywhere does not change your stand with the Lord. The only thing that changes your, is that right, your stand with the Lord, is actually you going and changing your stand with the Lord, your standing in the sight of the Lord. First of all, he didn't care that people saw him acting like a fool, running down the road, climbing up a tree. He didn't care. And we shouldn't care either. There's going to be times that the Lord puts it upon our hearts to do something. I remember walking down the six or seven or eight stories that there are in Altigalvin Hospital. And we were walking past a man that he was crying. And he had another man standing beside him. And I put my hand on his shoulder and I just said, after the Lord said, give him a gospel tract. Put my hand on his shoulder and said, excuse me, sir. And the Lord has really just spoken to me and put it upon my heart to give you this wee bit of the scriptures. And he just stopped crying and he took the gospel tract. And I never heard a thing about it for another few days. Whenever he rang me, and invited me to come over and have tea with the family because his wife had just passed away. And all he said he could feel was himself disappearing down a big dark hole. And whenever I handed them that gospel tract, it just was like a detour off that path. Whenever God calls us to do something, no matter how stupid it might seem, we should do it. And don't worry about what the rest of the world sees you doing. Walking up to a newspaper man and giving a guy built like a tank with tattoos all over his body a gospel tract. Even if he refuses, just say, look, the Lord really is really giving me a hard time about giving you this gospel tract, and I would rather be at peace with him than with you, so here's this gospel tract. If you want it, you take it. I remember also one time about the Lord, as I was walking to a hospital appointment. There was a man sitting in the car with his window down, and I just knocked the window and said, excuse me, sir, there's a wee gospel tract. Because the Lord said, go and give that guy a gospel tract. Just walking up to people. It helps if you have a bunch in your hand to say, there's a wee gospel tract for you. And I'm only taking that as an example. There are many times stepping out in faith, because the Lord said, I'll make it possible for you to do it, that the world has said, how are you going to live? How are you going to do X, Y, and Z? And I have trusted in the Lord and done what I have needed to do, and here we are today. Don't be afraid of what the world says about you as you serve the Lord. Because guess what? In less than 100 years, you'll be standing in front of the God that asked you to do that, and it is his heaven and his eternity you hope to enter into. The exact same place that all these people that be pointing the finger, you're being a holy Joe. Yeah, I am, so sue me. They want to go to heaven too, do they not? All these people that are drinking and smoking and sleeping with people they're not married to, they all want to go to heaven. So it makes them a bit of a hypocrite if they point the finger at you if you go about the Lord's work in this world. Anyway, don't be afraid of that. More importantly, when the Lord knocks on your door and says, I would like to come into your life, even into your house, and I would like to sup with you, and I would like it to be that you would sup with me. In the book of Revelation it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will enter him, and I will sup with him, and he will sup with me. When God knocks at the door of your house, do not dilly-dally. Don't dither. Don't say you'll be there in 10 minutes. Stop whatever it is that you're doing and go. I don't know about you. I have a fair amount of junk at my house. I do. And Monica has as well. I was going to say Norman might have even more junk, but his is labelled and appropriately placed where he can put his hand on it. Tools-wise, mine might be in one barn or a dry store or my workshop. And if it's not there, it might be beside the couch. I'm going to shoot those phones. But many years before I was saved, all of the things that I had made up my life. They were part of me. And now I have found over the years that all of the things that I have are assets. Disposable assets. They're not personal. They're disposable. They're tools. Much like the saws and the drills and things that we bring here, they're a means to an end. And whilst the saw might be good at cutting a piece of wood and the drill excellent for drilling holes, there are other things in our lives that might be good for drilling a hole through some hard heart. And if that means giving up something that you have in your house that you hold really, really dear. In fact, the Lord says, look, if there's something in your life even that's dragging you down, Get rid of it, even if it seems like a right eye or a right arm or a right leg. Get rid of it. I'll have something much better for you in place of that. And the endless ages of eternity, Zacchaeus is walking on the streets of gold. Right now. And I'm going to tell you one thing. He is not regretting the day Jesus came to his house. The house changed. Instead of it being a home or a house that was led by the acquisition of wealth, it became a home where the Lord was able to work in it. We mentioned the rich young ruler who went away sorrowing after his meeting with the Lord. What did Zacchaeus do? Sounds to me like Zacchaeus was a much happier man whenever the Lord came. To be relieved of all of those thefts that were on his heart, to be relieved to be able to give to the poor and do alms for them, to be relieved that Jesus loved him enough, regardless of everything that he had done in his life, to come to his house and to save his soul. I am sure he did not miss the giving away of half of his goods. I'm sure he also remembered the words of Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, where Solomon talks about the acquisition of wealth being everything to somebody. He said, because someday you'll step off into eternity and you'll leave it to somebody else. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not wrong to have money and it's not wrong to have stuff. But whenever that stuff and that money becomes so important to you that you are prepared to literally sell your soul to the devil for more of it, what does the Bible say? It's the love of money, not the use of money. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. The rich young ruler went away sorrowing. Zacchaeus was joyful. You should be glad when God comes into your home. Unless, of course, you're holding on to your sin that much. You know what they say about Jesus being the what of the world? The light of the world. Because whenever you invite Jesus into your house, this is what he does. He looks in under the stairs with a flashlight. And if you have stuff hidden under the stairs, like most people do, that you don't want them to see, and you know they're going to look under the stairs, what do you do? You do one of two things. If you're prepared to get right and have them in your house, you clean out from under the stairs. If you love the things that are under the stairs, you make sure that that person never gets into the house. I want for you to understand that it doesn't matter who you are, rich or poor, old or young, fat or thin, tall or short. Remember who we talked about, the tallest man, the two tallest men in the world this morning? Solomon and Goliath. Well, two of the tallest men in the world. It doesn't matter how tall you are. And it doesn't matter the successes or failures that you've had in your life. The language you speak, that we do age, it doesn't matter even if you're a man or a woman. The most important thing in this world, and you will find out that the most important thing forever is whether your soul is saved. And after that, whether you're spending the time in this world with that saved soul doing what God asks you to do. He's not going to say, right, Norman, the sermon on Wednesday night's down to you. He's not going to do that. I might do it. God is not going to do it. When I say it's not your thing, God will put you behind the pulpit if he needs you behind the pulpit. God will keep you in the pew if that is the best place for you. And that's not rhyming or anything like that, or the words to a song. Just remember, it doesn't matter who you are. God will come to your life and your home, and he will save your soul. If you want him to. And if you're prepared to make him, keep a seat for him in your house, he'll be more than happy to come there. And the change that you will experience will change you from a man that was at his wit's end trying to figure out the meaning of life, the universe and everything, to a man that was walking and talking with Jesus Christ, who finally got the mastery over the thing that he had chased for so many years of his life, and was fit to show it to everyone that knew. And you know what? That's what it's about. We have one God, and that's God Almighty. We should have no other masters. Yes, there's things that we have to do, but they shouldn't guide and direct our lives. But God loves you to bits, and he has a plan for you. And whenever we accept his plan and accept his salvation, should be a change. Should most definitely be a change. I think that's us tonight. I know we're a bit short. That's my special gift to you this Sunday evening. We're going to stop there. We'll sing a song or two, and then we will be dismissed. If anybody wants me to start a new sermon, just pull out a chapter there and we'll read it, and then we'll bring you something. If you don't, just lift your handbooks. Right, I have one picked, which I now can't find. Is it in here? There it is. Hymn number 19 in the black books, if you'd like to take it. Hymn number 19. God be with you till we meet again. That's why I was saying it was our farewell hymn. Let's stand. Look forward to meeting up with whomever, Norman in the morning, the rest of you as and when. Safe travels, happy trails, and make sure your walk, wherever it is that you're walking to, is with the Lord. Do you want to pray for us as we dismiss the meeting?
Father, thank you for the service, Lord, and use that the message Mark preached about tonight to write upon our hearts, Lord, and draw us closer walk with you and thy Son, Lord. Give us this night, Lord, depart us to our homes in safety, and remember those are absent Brown, Lord, give those are sick, remember Stephen Pat, Lord, help Stephen his sickness, Lord, we just the pain and the suffering and the discomfort, Lord, and give Pat some respite and some comfort as well, Lord. Miss Pat's friends, remember Christine and Taylor, give them as they go, John McCusker, Lord, walk with you as well, Lord, give Esther as well, Lord, give Fran, Lord, as many as a man, keep him safe and well, Lord, give Glenn, keep her safe as well, Lord, John McCusker, walk with you, give Frank, keep him safe and well done, and draw him closer, walk with thee, Lord, and protect him and guide him, and draw him close, Lord. And pray for any other, Lord, as well, Lord, and keep us safe, Lord, as we go to new week, Lord, and guide us and direct us in our past, Lord, and may we do everything pleasing for thy honour and for thy glory, for Jesus Christ, again, amen.
Thank you, Will. God bless you, folks. We are dismissed. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit.